So this morning, looking at Psalm 46, a great psalm. It's a great psalm for the time in our lives when we're in great trouble. The psalm can become a real anchor of the soul. And it only becomes an anchor of the soul because it outlines the promises of God. That's the only thing that gives our soul rest, right? Is when the promises of God are realized. And this psalm is very much like that. The Bible tells us repeatedly that there's nothing new under the sun. However, that doesn't stop us personally, within this country in which we lived, within the family units in which we live, to at times be consumed by fear and panic. That happens, right? It doesn't stop us from being filled with anxieties and worry. You see, we so often allow our circumstances to dictate our emotions, to dictate the way we feel, and when we do that, we tend to forget God. We tend to forget the immovable object of our faith. We tend to forget the immovable promises in which He gives us. And I would suggest to you, as believers and followers of Christ, even though fear and anxieties may come upon us, that should not be something that marks us out, right? Consistently. Because we should be able to look beyond our circumstances, look beyond the issues that we face, and look to our refuge and our strength. And that's what that psalm is about. When you look at history, you see a man like Martin Luther, and we know who Luther was, right? He's one of the fathers of the Protestant Reformation. We stand on his shoulders, even though we're not Lutheran and we're Baptists. We still stand on the shoulders of Luther, who highlighted that salvation was by grace alone, through Christ alone, through faith alone. That Scripture was the only way that we could understand salvation, and it was all to the glory of God alone. They're the 5 points that Luther penned out over a period of time as he challenged the church of the day to move away from indulgences and move away from works-based salvation to what the Bible truly said. And Martin Luther in 1527, and that's a long time ago, it's almost 500 years ago, right? 500 years ago next year. In 1527, had his most difficult year of his life. After 10 demanding years of leading the Reformation, a dizzy spell overcame him in the middle of a sermon on April the 22nd of that year, forcing him to stop preaching. Imagine that. Luther feared for his life. And on the July the 6th, so about 3 or 4 months later, when he was eating dinner, he felt an acute buzzing in his ear and lay down again, convinced that he was at the end of his life. You've got to realize 500 years ago, medical advances weren't quite as medically advanced. People died in their 30s and 40s, and they would have considered that a long life. So Luther was feeling unwell. He partially regained his strength. But as he regained his strength, a debilitating discouragement set in over him. In addition to that, he had some heart problems. He had some severe intestinal complications. And this all escalated in his own heart and mind that I'm about to depart this world for a greater one to come, right? During the midst of this ordeal, Luther wrote, I spent more than a week in death and hell. My entire body was in pain and I still tremble. Completely abandoned by Christ, I laboured under the vacillations and storms of desperation and blasphemy against God. That's a pretty dark place, right? In essence, he's crying out, where is God? And also during this time, his one-year-old child, Hans, became desperately ill. So death was surrounding Luther on all sides. And he was driven to seek God as a refuge like never before. And Psalm 46, the psalm we have read, became the strength of his soul. And as a result, he wrote a hymn, a song, a poem. And the most famous poem, called A Mighty Fortress is Our God. As a majestic proclamation of God, who is all-sufficient, an all-sufficient refuge in our weakest moments. I've just put up a couple of verses here, so let's have a look at one of the verses. Look at these words. Some of the old English here might be difficult to understand, but and tremendous themes. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Now, a bulwark is part of a ship, right? Part of the structural integrity of a ship. Our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. There he's talking about the devil, talking about Satan. And then the next verse, did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. What a wonderful statement. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. You ask who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, or Lord of hosts is his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. Aren't they tremendous words? Fueled by Psalm 46. Fueled by a man who was nearing death. He reached out and he looked at Psalm 46. See, like Luther, the author of Psalm 46 found great solace in the fact that God would be his refuge in difficult times. It's not a prayer, it's not a wish, it's a statement of fact. The background of when this song was written is unknown. Most likely written after a great military victory. But we do know that the psalm is written by the sons of Korah. You get that right at the start. And to the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to the Alamoth, a song. The sons of Korah wrote around 11 of the psalms that we have in our book of psalms. They're dotted throughout the book of psalms. They were descendants of Kohath, the father of Korah. And their primary role amongst the community was to produce and perform music while the tabernacle was in the wilderness. So that was their primary responsibility. And when the temple was built, they would do the same service inside the temple. So here we have Psalm 46. Let's just pull a little bit of apart and think through this as an encouragement for us today. The first three verses, which form a verse of one song, God is our strong refuge. He is truly our helper in times of trouble. That's the statement of fact. If you want the theme of the psalm, that's it. The sons of Korah said, this is the fact. And I like the way the NET puts it. God is our strong refuge. He's our immovable refuge. God alone is our all in all. All other refuges are lies. All other strength is weakness. For ultimate power belongs to God. I really enjoy the second line of this verse in the NET. He is truly our helper in times of trouble. There is no, I hope he's our helper. There's no, oh, he might help us. This is a statement of fact, yet again. He truly is our helper. He's our strong refuge and truly our helper. And then the psalmists, they cut to the chase. He said, because of these two facts, because of these two certainties, for this reason we do not fear. Isn't that wonderful encouragement? What causes fear and anxiety amongst you? Is it poor health? Is it old age? Is it young age? Is it waiting for a job? Is it family conflicts? I'm here to tell you today that God is above those things. He's our strong refuge. He's our helper in times of trouble. The ESV and the more authorized, I guess, older versions say this: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So the nice way of putting it, right? A very present, always there, ongoing, continuous helper. And the response is we don't fear. We don't fear. And then the psalmist draws a couple of illustrations for us. He uses the earth, he uses the mountains, and he uses the sea. He says, we won't fear even if the earth shakes. Now, I understand I live in Australia. I was born in the shaky Isles. I got to say, as a group of people, you are pathetic when it comes to earthquakes. Pathetic, right? I remember seeing something really funny a few years ago. There was an earthquake out east here, Gippsland Way. And you know one of those plastic picnic chairs? It had fallen over. And the caption in the newsreel was, yes, we will rebuild. Because you had a 1.3 Richter scale earthquake. The shaky Isles. I lived in a place called Hastings. That's my hometown. In 1931, that got devastated by a 7.9 Richter scale earthquake. That's pretty heavy shake. There's not many bigger than that. So hence, as school children, what we had to go through, I know every other school does, or every other country does, fire drills, right? What happens in a fire? You probably do hail drills, I don't know. But we used to have to do earthquake drills in my hometown. So we'd have earthquake drills in the school. You'd have to get either under a lintel of a door or under your desk. The shaky Isles. The psalmist refers to this. We do not fear when the earth shakes. And the mountains tumble into the depths of the sea. That's a pretty big shake, right? We think of mountains as immovable objects. We're using this picture to say, actually, what happens if that mountain slides into the sea because of the shaking earth? That's a pretty tumultuous affair, right? It's a pretty violent type reaction in the earth. When that happens, we won't fear. When its waves crash and foam, that's the sea, and the mountains shake before the surging sea. Anyone here been in a very heavy sea inside a light craft? Yeah, not pretty feeling, is it? Waves breaking over the bow of your boat. You wonder if the next wave's going to sink you. This is the imagery he's trying to bring up here. We don't fear when these things around about us are crumbling and falling. Why? Because God's our refuge. He's our helper in times of trouble. He's our helper. He's really saying, with God on our side, how irrational would fear be? Because God is all-powerful. God is all-love. Therefore, why would we fear? You see, the times of trouble in which God offers his protection are times when chaos attempts to reassert its primacy over order, either through the natural world or through the nations, through human affairs. And what we have here in these three verses is God being very present and protecting the ones he loves, protecting the ones who've called on his name. And that should be the basis and confidence of each one of us who have placed our faith in Christ. We should be confident and we should not fear. See, earth shaking and your mountains tumbling, it could be a medical crisis. The waves crashing and the surging sea around about us. Could be conflicts within families, could be conflicts within friends. And so often we forget to call back and trust in the one who's our refuge. The one who is our strength. So do you fear? We all fear at times, but my hope and my encouragement is that your fear is outweighed by your trust in the immovable refuge of our God. As seen by his precious Son going to the cross. He bore our sin. He made it possible for us to have a relationship that was restored. That's our immovable refuge for you. He provides a way of salvation through the cross of Christ. See, that's where Luther had it so right in that hymn. The man on our side, the man of God's own choosing, you ask who that may be, Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth's name from age to age the same, he must win the battle. Aren't you pleased that the battle has been won at the cross? Aren't you pleased that we can take refuge and strength because of what Christ has done on the cross? That's why we don't fear. Your eternal security is secure. No matter what this life throws at you. And that's just so encouraging. Secondly, we have the next few verses, which I've titled these as the inexhaustible river. Let's read them again. The river's channels bring joy to the city of God, the special, holy dwelling place of the Most High. God lives within it. It cannot be moved. God rescues it at the break of dawn. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms are overthrown. God gives a shout. The earth dissolves. The Lord of heaven's armies is on our side. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Here, God himself is portrayed as a source of protection. And the source of protection is the city of God. And that's the immediate place of protection. For the psalmist, for the sons of Korah, the city of God is a safe place because it's there where God dwells. It's his dwelling place. That's where his presence might be experienced. Though the mountains, traditional symbols of stability, may slide into the sea, God's city will not slide. Notice that. It's a holy dwelling place. God lives within it. God rescues it. It is our stronghold. Divine protection here is pictured as true stability. In a world where powerful foreign nations are fundamentally unstable. The nations may rage against God and his people, but when God's voice is heard in judgment, the earth melts. Please notice that. Nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms are overthrown, verse 6. God gives a shout. What happens? The earth dissolves. Where's power lie? In God. I think here you can see that, firstly, God satisfies his people. The river channels bring joy. Joy as you enter the presence of God. Joy results in satisfaction. And then we have God sustaining his people. Why? Because God lives within this city, can't be moved. God rescues. And God dissolves. The uproar of the nations around about him. And God saves his people. The Lord of hosts. The Lord of heaven's armies. This is a picture of God being a mighty warrior. A mighty king leading into battle. Leading his armies into battle for victory. It goes well with the other name for God used in this particular refrain, the dwelling place of the Most High. Elyon means he's the exalter ruler of the universe who vindicates the innocent and judges the wicked. And that's what he does in this verse here, in this refrain. He vindicates the innocent and judges the wicked. And he brings channels of joy. We often sing the song, "Return unto me the joy of my salvation." Psalm 51, right? That's what I think this is talking about. The joy that God brings to a sinner who is saved. The grace he pours out to you and I. is incredible. And that should be part of the fuel that allows us to take refuge in our God. Whereas remember, truly he is our helper in times of trouble. If you're feeling troubled, look to the fruit of your salvation. Look to the fact that Christ has redeemed you. That surely will bring joy. Insurmountable joy. Then we come to our invincible ruler. Come witness the exploits of the Lord who brings devastation to the earth. I'll reread that. Come, witness the exploits of Yahweh, who brings devastation to the earth. He brings an end to wars throughout the earth. He shatters the bow and breaks the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, stop your striving and recognize that I am God. Or as we probably are more familiar with, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted over the nations. I will be exalted over the earth. The Lord of the heaven's armies is on our side. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. This final section of the psalm, it's almost an invitation. Come and see. Come and witness what the Lord has done. Whereas the NET says, come witness the exploits of the Lord. And it clearly outlines what those exploits are. If you read the verse, read the chapters, it's easy to identify. He shatters, he brings, he burns, and he saves. Right? He brings an end to wars. He shatters the bow. He burns the shields with fire. He dismantles the armies, in other words. And then he stays and he addresses, be still and know that I am God. Shows that God and God alone controls world history. Look what God has done. And he's calling us as worshippers to witness what God has done. If you don't know what God has done, start reading through God's word. For the nation of Israel, they would have immediately gone back to Exodus, right? The marvelous things he did as they came out of Egypt, as the sea parted, as Mount Sinai shook. As the walls of Jericho fell down. Come and witness the exploits of the Lord. As the man on the middle cross says, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. As the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us and we beheld his glory full of grace and truth. Come, witness the exploits of the Lord. He brings an end to wars. Well, change that. He breaks the power of sin and bondage. He shatters the bow and breaks the spear. He burns the shields with fire. What a wonderful picture . What a wonderful instruction to witness the exploits of the Lord and to stop striving and to be still and know that God is God. To know that God is God is to know His Lordship, therefore to be aware of His total capacity as our refuge and our strength. I've been taken this week as I've been looking through this psalm at just the beauty of it. And there's a little known hymn writer, I'd say more of a poetry man. His name is John Ryland. Now, he's an old dude. He was born in 1777. So he was around a few years. And to his name, or his name, his fame, he was an English Baptist minister and songwriter. So we moved from the Lutherans to the Baptists. And he wrote this hymn, which I think also might have been inspired by Psalm 46. Sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise, all my times are in your hand, all events at your command. He that formed me in the womb, he shall guide me to the tomb. All my time shall ever be ordered by his wise decree. Plagues and deaths around me fly, till he bids, I cannot die. Not a single shaft can hit, till the God of love thinks fit. I was floored by those words. I thought, what a heart of praise and what truth there is there. What truth there is in the fact that this hymn writer, John Ryland, understood that God is his strong refuge, that he truly helps in times of trouble, and that the Lord of the heaven's armies is on his side. And nothing in his life is by chance. You see that? Nothing. All my times are in your hand, all events at your command. And even though death will surround him, till he bids, I cannot die. Not a single shaft can hit, referring to lightning, till the God of love thinks fit. That's the God we worship. That's the God in whom we take refuge. That's the God in whom is our helper in times of need. I invite the music team up. We're going to sing our final song together. And as we do, I'm going to pray for us. I want to pray that we just get a glimpse of this today. That we learn to view our God as our strong refuge. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this wonderful psalm. We thank you that it highlights your character. You are our strong refuge. You are truly our helper in times of trouble. Father, help us to be a people who don't fear our circumstances. Help us to be a people who trust, who realize that our greatest possession is the fact that Christ has given us his righteousness. Father, help us to witness to the exploits of the Lord. Help us to know and share the fact that salvation is in and through Christ alone. Father, we thank you that as we also read through this psalm, that you are Yahweh, covenant-keeping God, a promise-keeping God, one who controls your armies, one who is our stronghold. We thank you that through your Spirit and by your Spirit, we can have assurance of the fact that you are our stronghold. So, Lord, we thank you for this wonderful psalm of encouragement. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.